I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Father, today. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church was Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise your name. Oh, we praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. Thank you. one final breath he gave. As heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. His body in the grave, the war on death was won. The power fell forever broken.
The crown began
to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death was your sting. Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Forever
he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Began
to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome.
We sing hallelujah,
we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
The
lamp,
the ground began to shake.
The ground began to shake, and the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Forever
he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Oh, he's alive. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. Oh, let's praise him this morning, church. Oh, glory to your name, our God. Oh, we give you glory and honor, our risen Lord. Blessing and honor and praise and glory. Praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for victory today, victory over the grave. Victory over death, oh, and eternal life. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory today. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praise, Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, we're not quite done yet. So we just sang about what happened, about the stone rolled away and he is risen. Don't mind if I sit down. I've got a story song. I like to tell a story sitting down. And I love story songs. When Pastor Dave asked me to share a little, this one's been around a while, but I haven't done it in a while. So when all that was happening that we just sang about, one of the guys that was really scared, had no idea what was going on, was Peter. So this is from Peter's perspective. And I'm sure you've heard it, but it's kind of a fun song. If Adam can get me started and cranked way up there, it's a quiet MP3 player. Let's see if we got enough. Oh, we got to go way up. Keep going. Way up. Maybe we're going to restart. It's so quiet, it's in the distance. Oh, here we go. The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, and half in fear that day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. So I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of the soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary. I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I watched him die. Back inside the house again, all the guilt and the anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. And when at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive. He is alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Now Peter believes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Am I on? I am on. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is this something to shout about? It is absolutely something to shout about. Whoa, glory to God. Oh, praise his name. If there was ever something to shout about, this is better than everything. Every one of the world celebrations rolled together, 50 Super Bowls, cannot beat the shout that Jesus deserves for all that he has done for us. Glory to his name. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Amen and amen. Oh, he is alive. He is alive. Glory to God. Is there anybody today that has a testimony you want to share? What has God done in this week, or what has he done recently that you'd like to share or testify to? Anybody? It's okay if you don't, but next week I might come looking for you. Sister Denise.
This really encouraged me, and anybody who... this wasn't like something really personal that happened to me, but when I heard this, and I just thought, I have to share it. In Dutch Sheets, give him 15, he explained back in the time of Jesus, not just in the Jewish cultures, but in any culture where there was any kind of wealth and servants, a servant would wait and he would serve his master when his master was ready to eat, and then he'd stand in the background by the door to see if he'd missed anything. And when the master was finished, he would take his napkin and he would wad it up and throw it on the table. And that was a sign, okay, I'm done. And he would leave and the servant would clean up. But if he folded the napkin neatly and laid it on the table, it told the servant, I'll be back. I just thought that was pretty special.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, glory to His name. What a wonderful opportunity to celebrate. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention. If you're not one to go online often, I encourage you to jump online and look at our new church website. It's nice and redone, and it looks pretty spiffy. Our webmaster, Wayne Headland, up in Elam, has put together just a beautiful web page. And it so take a look at it. It's up and it's live. And because of that, now we can kind of begin to do some social media advertising, which I'm told is the way to go. I'm trying to get off of social media, and everyone else is trying to get on. And please remember, too, Ed announced it, but the congregational meeting next week, it's Resurrection Sunday, but we are not going to resurrect our projector. We are going to give it a decent burial, and it will not be coming back to life like Jesus did, but we will be replacing it, hopefully, with some television sets. The specs for our proposal are on the back table. There's a little sign back there. Make sure you get one and look it over so that you'll have a chance to know what's happening. You don't have to kind of peruse that next Sunday after church. We'll meet briefly because it's a fair amount of money. The church does, the membership does need to vote on that. So glory to His name. If you have your Bible with you, if you would turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and beginning with the first verse. Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they went to the tomb. They were asking one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, even though it was extremely large. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So the women left the tomb and ran away, trembling and bewildered. And in their fear, they did not say a word to anyone. Early on the first day of the week after Jesus had risen, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had driven out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they did not believe it. After this, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them as they walked along in the road, in the country. And they went back and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, as they were eating, Jesus appeared to the 11 and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hand, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be made well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word by the signs that accompanied it. Jesus at Easter changed everything. Easter changed everything. The focal point of all human history, the pivot point of all human history, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are people in the world who would argue that and say, well, what about this great leader? What about this great empire? Guess what? Muhammad did not die for your sins. Buddha did not die for your sins. Jesus is the only one who died and rose again for your sins. And people will say, well, I don't believe it. Prove it to me. And sometimes we say, well, it's not something we prove. We just have to believe it by faith. No, you know what? We have eyewitnesses. Well, they're all dead. Do you know how many manuscripts of proof there is in the world today? There are over 25,000 manuscripts, way more than for any other thing on earth. If you can point to a point in history and verify it with archaeological evidence, the death and resurrection of Jesus is the one. There is more evidence for that than there is for any other event in human history. There is more evidence for it than any other event in human history. It's there. It happened. And if you don't believe it, if you think, well, they just made it up, it was just, you know, a story, why would those 12 men then die horrible deaths, some of them, for something that was a lie? Would you do it? Would you die? Would you tell a big fat whopper and then be willing to be crucified upside down? I don't think so. Hang on to that thing until the very end. The reason they could hang on to it till the very end was because it was true. And they had seen it, and we can trust it. And I know it's true because not only did Jesus rise and change their life, Jesus rose and changed my life. Has he changed your life? My life is different today than it was before I got saved. And there were things that absolutely in my life would not budge and would not change. But when I got saved, Jesus broke the power of sin in my life. I was freed from demonic addiction, and it left like that, and I fought it for years. But when I got saved, it went. Oh, the Lord, I cannot tell you what the Lord delivered me from when I got saved, but my life has not been the same ever since I accepted Christ into my life. And the greatest testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is your changed life. Who can argue with that? They can't argue with it. They can argue with you about doctrine. They can argue about this and that. But they can't argue when you tell them that Jesus healed you, that he delivered you, that he gave you peace, that he got you through the hardest time in your life. How can you argue with that? It's truth. It's truth, and it's all wrapped up in the resurrection. On this day, and yeah, I know, it probably wasn't this day. You know what? It doesn't matter. People get hung up about, well, when's the exact day of Christmas? When's the exact day of Easter? Does it matter? It doesn't matter what day it was. It matters that it was. That's all that matters. It was, it is, and it will continue to be. On this day, fellowship between God and man was restored, sinful lives transformed, and the church, the body of Christ, was born. Glory be to his name. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. This is the day that the church was born, when Jesus rose. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Glory, glory to his name. And because Jesus rose, guess what? You got adopted. You got adopted. You are in a new family. Oh, glory to his name. Romans 8:15. I'm getting excited today. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is like saying Dad. It's a very familiar, loving term for a father. It's not our great and holy Father. It's Abba. Abba, my Father. That's the kind of Spirit that we have because we've been adopted. And the extra special good news that I want to talk about today, because as children of God, Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has given you and I an incomprehensible inheritance. You know, when my mom and dad passed away, they left me an inheritance. It was, you know, it was an amount of money. It wasn't earth-shaking. Something's ringing. But there was an inheritance that they left me. When Jesus died, he left us an incredible, incredible inheritance. Ephesians 1:13-14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You and I have an inheritance. And it's because of Easter Sunday. It's because Jesus crashed out of that tomb. Glory to his name. What is this inheritance that Jesus gives to us who believe in his resurrection? What is our inheritance? Wow, there's just so much to it. There's so much to it. Number one, we, and the biggest of all, our salvation. Our salvation from our sins. What could be greater? 1 Peter 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power for the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Are you glad that Jesus' blood washes away your sins? We don't have to feel guilty and miserable. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to wonder about judgment. We can know that we're saved. If you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, I want to pray with you. You can know that you're saved. When does this inheritance begin? When do we start to collect on it? All of a sudden, I am ringing like crazy, and I'm not sure why. I'm going to back this off just a little bit. Sorry. That might be better. Can you still hear me? When does this inheritance begin? When do we get to collect on this wonderful thing that God's given us? I want to tell you, it starts the moment you get saved. That very moment. Our eternal life doesn't begin when you die. It begins right now. John 17:3, now this is eternal life. We're about to get a definition. Did you hear it? Now this is eternal life. This is Jesus speaking. That they may know you, the only true God,
and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. First of all, eternal life is knowing Jesus. It's knowing God. Restored fellowship between God and man. That is the ultimate salvation, and we're walking in it right now. You are eternally saved, and you're walking in eternal life right now. Just because your body dies doesn't mean you're done. It means we have eternal life. Oh, glory be to God. We are going to know Him forever. And if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Glory to His name. And if you aren't, I want to encourage you today. Today could be the day. And you don't know how many more todays there are. My brother didn't know how many more todays there were the day he went out running and was struck by a car. He's still alive, but he doesn't have his mind. He doesn't have his memories. You don't know. You don't know. This is the day. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. Come to Jesus now. This is the time. Salvation. How about peace? How about the issue of the inheritance that we get of peace? How valuable is that? What are people in the world looking for? What is there not in the world? On every hand, there is anything but peace. But what are we promised in the scriptures? Because of what Jesus did. John 14:27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Thank God. You know what kind of peace the world gives you? The peace the world gives you is a flattering tongue, and then as soon as you turn around, you get it in the back. Is that what you were saying? Yeah. That's the kind of peace the world would give us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. How do you have that? Only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have peace because we're at peace with God. We can be at peace with who we are, and we're at peace with our future. Jesus was at peace. It was the cross hard for Jesus? Oh, yes. On every level, physical, emotional, spiritual, nobody suffered like Jesus. How was he able to face the cross? He was able to face the cross because he didn't look at it. He looked beyond it. He looked beyond the cross. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. When he looked beyond the cross, he saw you and me and millions of other people that we're going to be in glory. And because of that, we can have peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. What is peace worth in this world today? When we can have peace in the storm? Wow. Salvation, peace, how about access to the Father? What happened when Jesus said, "It is finished," and the ground shook? It says the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, not bottom to top. It wasn't a man that did it. That was the hand of God that ripped that veil right down the middle, exposing the Holy of Holies. And at that point, God's saying, "Here I am. Come to me." That means we have access to the Father and to Jesus. Ephesians 2:18, I chose this from the New Living Translation. It says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. We have access to God. We can go to our Father. We can pray. Jesus said, ask what you will of me, and my Father will do it. Oh, Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples a parable, it says, to show that they should always pray and not give up. And I'm not even going to talk about the parable. Notice how he prefaced it. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Why? Because we've got an audience with the King. We have an audience. We can pray. We can bring our requests. And we can thank Him for it because He hears our prayers. Sister Denise, prayer changes things, right? She is a living testimony, my interceding sister. Prayer changes things. As we pray, we've seen lives changed. We've seen bondages broken. We've seen throughout the ages, through prayer, the course of history has been changed. We have access to the Father and through Jesus. Salvation, peace, access. How about a resurrected body? Isn't that cool? I'm really looking forward to the resurrected body. Oh, and that I don't even know what it means. None of us really know what that means. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, Paul says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Isn't that cool? What is our resurrection body going to be like? I don't know. I know Jesus' resurrection body looked obviously a lot like His normal body. Mary recognized Him. The disciples were freaked out and weren't sure it was Him because they couldn't believe it. But He showed them His hands and His side, and they believed. But yet they were in a locked room and Jesus walked in. How did He get in there? I don't know. It's not like a sci-fi movie. I don't know how He got in. Whether Jesus' resurrected body could go through the wall, whether somehow He came in through a locked door, I don't know. But I do know that when He appeared to the disciples at Emmaus, after He spoke with them and He broke bread with them and their eyes were opened and they knew it was Him, what happened? He disappeared. Poof. I don't know what kind of body we're going to have, but it is going to be really cool. It is going to be really cool, and I'm ready for it. The thing is, I didn't do anything to deserve it. I don't deserve it, but Jesus says I can have it if I will turn my heart and my life over to Him. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I don't deserve it. But Jesus purchased it for us on the cross. Glory to His name. Salvation, peace, access, a resurrected body. How about treasure in heaven? Treasure in heaven. Ho, Matthew 6:20. Jesus said, "But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven." That means we got a bank account up there. We can invest in the kingdom of God. How do you invest in the kingdom of God? In your service to Him, in your giving to Him, in your surrender to Him. It says in one place in Revelation that their good works follow them. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Jesus said that the widow's mite was more than everything that everybody else gave because she gave it sacrificially. We have the opportunity to invest in souls while we're here. We get to do that. 1 Corinthians 3:12-14 says that Jesus is the chief foundation stone. It tells us of the temple of God. But if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. Oh, I want a reward. I want my heart to be right. I want to serve unselfishly. But we have the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, and we get treasure in heaven. I don't know what the treasure is. I don't know what it means, but I can't wait to find out. I want to find out. Oh, glory to God. How about the Holy Spirit? Did you know the Holy Spirit is part of your inheritance? Having the Holy Spirit come and indwell us. John 16:7, but Jesus said, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Oh boy, that living Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, comes in and makes your spirit alive. The wonderful word, regeneration. To come back alive, what was dead comes back to life inside of you. Glory to God. And then we can also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And we know what happened to the disciples as they hid in that locked room and the Holy Spirit came down upon them and zapped them, and they went out speaking in tongues. And then they did miracles and with power proclaimed the kingdom of God. That's part of your inheritance. That's part of your inheritance. And I'd like to be able to explain every bit of what all of that means, but there's so much more. 1 Corinthians 2:19 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." In other words, it's going to be so much better than we've even thought about. Glory to His name. So much better. So much more. But I want to encourage you today, an inheritance is only as good as we're willing to receive it. When my mom and dad passed away, they left me an inheritance. I could leave it sit in a bank somewhere, or I could go and I could get it. And I could use it. I could have it. I chose to go and get it. Yeah. And I wasn't tempted to just take half of it. Well, I only need a little bit of it. I'll just take a little out once in a while. No, I wanted the whole thing. I wanted the whole thing. Do you want the whole thing? Do you want your... Are you living in all of your spiritual inheritance? I want to encourage you today. I'm encouraging myself. Are you living in all of your spiritual inheritance? Salvation. If you're here, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? I've been talking to more people who have spent time. Two people at the Good Friday service said they had just been sharing their faith with somebody, and out of their mouth, he said, "Well, do you believe you're going to go to heaven when you die?" And their word was, "Well, I hope so." And one of my friends said, "Well, let's be sure. let's make it certain." You know, don't gamble with your eternal soul and hope. You can know. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But are you walking, if you've accepted Christ, are you walking in the assurance of your salvation? Are you walking in the freedom of your salvation? Or is the enemy coming and stealing the peace of that salvation from you through guilt and condemnation? Do you feel like God is somehow angry with you? Do you feel like, well, I was bad today. I was nasty to somebody. I did this thing wrong. Oh, God's not happy with me. No! Where is your salvation? If you were saved, you are saved. You're going to be saved. Unless you turn your back and renounce Jesus Christ and march away from Him, you are going to be saved. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. A Christian doesn't have to live under condemnation, does not have to walk in guilt, does not have to feel rotten about themselves. If you're there, there's some inheritance that you haven't claimed. Grab onto it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What about peace? Have you claimed your inheritance of peace? Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Take it. Are you walking in peace? Or is the enemy stealing it from you through worry or fear? Wow. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. If you're stuck in the torment of fear, that's not your inheritance. It's not your inheritance. If you're struggling with worry and anxiety, that's not your inheritance. God has something better for you. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be worried about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes understanding, is going to keep your hearts and minds. Are you walking in the peace that Jesus died for? Ah, how about access to the Father? What did Jesus say? Ask. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We can go. We can seek Him. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Ask largely of God. Don't be afraid to ask, to pray big prayers. Don't be afraid to ask Him for the big things, for the small things. Bring it all to Him. He wants you to do that. I'm still ringing. I don't know what. Maybe I'm just too loud today. Access to the Father. As far as our resurrected body and treasure in heaven, we don't really get to claim those things until we leave this earth. But the enemy would like to steal your joy on that by taking away your hope. How does he do that? He can bring discouragement. He can cause you to forget, cause you to doubt, cause you to get choked like the thorns choke the seed with the cares of this life and how they impact us, and steal away our hope. What do we have to do to hang on to that hope? That our resurrected body is coming. Our treasure is in heaven. Paul said, if we only have hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. And that's the truth for all that Paul went through. He had a miserable life here. What was he hanging on to? That he was going to finish his course. He was going to complete the race. And that there would be therefore laid up for him a crown of glory in heaven. That's what he was counting on, and that's what we're counting on. So Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remind yourself every single day of the promises of God. Speak them to yourself. We've read a whole bunch of them today. Remind yourself of them. That's the way that we fix our eyes upon Jesus. That's how we get through difficult times. That's how we walk through suffering and how we walk through things that are hard, because we're fixing our eyes on Him. I shared on the Good Friday service, Peter was able to walk to Jesus in the storm on the boat. He didn't lose his hope until he started looking around, and then he saw the storm, he saw this, he saw that, he got distracted, he got his eyes off Jesus, and what, of course, he sinks. But what I shared then and what I share now is that Peter gets a bad rap for all of this. People are like, oh yeah, Peter, he sank. He didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. Well, guess what? If you were walking on the water in that storm, I probably would have taken my eyes off too. So down in the water he went. But what did he do? He yells, he says, Jesus, save me. And Jesus walks over, pulls him up out of the water, and the two of them walk on the water together back to the boat. Peter did it. He did it. He was victorious. He couldn't do it by himself. But with Jesus, he was able to walk through the storm. You can walk through the storm. You can hang on to your hope if you fix your eyes on him and walk through the things that we go through that are hard, knowing we got a hope in heaven. We've got a resurrected body. We've got a treasure in heaven, and we're going to be with Him. The greatest treasure of all is that we're going to be with Him forever. With Him forever. The Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to refill you. That's your inheritance. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to refill you with it. Luke 11:13, Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Thank you. Ask to those who ask. That means there's some seeking there. Ask Him. Seek Him. It's your inheritance. Jesus paid the price and went to the Father so that the Spirit could come. And He wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to pour it out. Ask Him. And then continue. Ask. Seek. Knock. It's part of your inheritance. Oh, and Jesus wants us to walk in all that He bought and paid for while we're in this life so that we can be the most effective and we can help reach other people with the message of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's true. Jesus walked out of that grave, and it doesn't matter how many atheists try to explain it away. They can't explain it away. It's true. It's true. It's true. There is the proof. There is the evidence. We have all of the ancient witnesses. Glory to His name. And all you have to do is look at creation to know that there is a Creator God. None of this came from nothing. Glory, glory, glory to His name. So at this Easter, I want to encourage you, grab hold of everything that's your inheritance, everything that Jesus bought and paid for is yours. We like this song, every promise in the book is mine. That's true. Every promise in the book is yours. Grab onto them. Take them, believe them, pray them, and then walk. Doesn't mean that what we have in this life is always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy, but God knows, and we have a hope in heaven that is waiting, sure, and waiting for us because Jesus walked out of that grave. Glory, glory be to His name. Father, we thank You that we have, and when we say hope, it's not a wishing kind of hope. It's the kind of hope where we know, we're assured. We're not hoping, we're knowing. We're knowing that Your word is true, Father, and that what You have for us is a life that's of freedom, of liberty, not of bondage to the things in the world where we live to please other people. But we can live to please God, where we don't have to live to look a certain way, to be accepted in a certain place or with certain people, that we have nothing to prove to anybody because we can just be at peace with God and we can be the created people that You made us. And Father, we thank You that we receive all of that when we receive You as our Lord and Savior, a rich inheritance. Father, I pray that You would make the rest of the world envious of that inheritance, Lord. I pray that they would see that inheritance, that joy on our faces. They would see the peace in our lives. They would recognize the joy of our salvation, and they would want to know You. Oh God, we pray that You would bring this message to a dying world where there is no peace, where there's just anxiety and difficulty and war and death. We pray that You would bring Your life, Your peace. Thank You for it. Help us to walk in everything that Jesus bought and paid for. And we give You glory. We thank You for it, Lord. Oh, thank You, Father, for Your great, rich salvation in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. If you're here this morning and you would like prayer, Someone will be here to pray with you at the end of the service. If there's any need in your life, we're willing to pray with you. If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would love to pray with you and introduce you to the most wonderful person on earth who will change your life. Happy Easter. God bless you. Take the joy with you as you go. May you be blessed. And if you want prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. God bless you. Jesus is risen. Go out and tell everybody.